There are complex, there are difficult questions about how to pay for our health care. And the raging pandemic is intensifying those questions. Waiving the cost of COVID tests is one thing, but how much might it cost for treatment if you're hospitalized or worse in ICU? How much will it cost to get a COVID vaccine? The government will cover the cost initially, at least, but then what? And what happens if you've recently lost your employer-sponsored plan? Let's talk healthcare, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here. Bobby Peterson is executive director of ABC for Health. It's a nonprofit law firm in Wisconsin connecting families with healthcare. Bobby, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, unpaid healthcare topped $1.3 billion last year, and the Wisconsin Hospital Association, they graphed up this really steep increases in uncompensated care. And I want to get your take on that. What do you see there with hospitals and healthcare providers in the uncompensated care area?
Sure. Uncompensated care is a combination of bad debt and charity care. So hospitals, you know, have some responsibility, mostly based upon their nonprofit status, to provide a certain amount of care to people who are indigent. So a certain amount of care is certainly appropriate, and it's in, you know, because of this, partly because of their tax exemption. But we've seen rapid increases in uncompensated care over the past several years. With the passage of the Affordable Care Act, we saw a pretty good drop. And most recently, since 2016, we've seen steady increases. And this is due to some of the opposition to the Affordable Care Act, some of the shortening of enrollment periods, less favorable rules. So it creates challenges. And, you know, when I think of uncompensated care, I think of, you know, the issue that it really is sort of socialized debt. And, you know, we hear people talk about socialized medicine. When we think about all this medical debt and uncompensated care, it really gets redistributed back into everybody else's bill. So a goal of ours should be to reduce uncompensated care as much as possible, particularly for people that have payment options. And I think some of our work indicates that with some good upfront help to people, identifying coverage, identifying strategies, good information, we can reduce some of that uncompensated care.
Bobby, what do you see the future holding for these charity organizations that buy up the like portfolios of medical debt at a fraction of their value, and then they turn around and they forgive the debt?
You know, I mean, personally, I think I'd like to be even out in front of that. I'd like to get to it before it becomes debt.
Uh-huh.
I think that, you know, once it becomes a debt, it's a problem. And then, you know, you have collections, you have credit score problems. So just merely buying and forgiving the debt, I mean, it's not terrible. It's obviously a good thing. But wouldn't it be better to help people at the front end of the process to make sure that their coverage is appropriate and aligned, and we reduce as much debt as possible? We're never going to make it go away, because there's always people that get surprised by copayments and deductibles and parts that are, you know, that there's not a lot of room to maneuver. But helping people up front, I think we can really reduce that medical debt, and it's, to me, a better way to go.
Yeah, you know, what I'm hearing from you is that medical debt causes this cascade of problems, and it also builds up this whole industry around debt collection. I'm wondering, too, what do you see as surprise medical bills? And because that has also been such an issue where people aren't expecting such a huge bill.
Yeah. You know, we've had a number of clients in our firm that have been subjected to surprise medical bill, air ambulance bills that were, you know, $40,000 that weren't covered suddenly because, you know, it was out of network. That can be devastating. You know, you think you have coverage. You think you've done the right thing to maintain your insurance for yourself and your family. And suddenly you're surprised by an out-of-network charge, a non-covered service charge, you know, beyond usual, customary, and reasonable. That's another issue where if your insurance company says we only pay $25,000 for the hip replacement, but the hospital charged you $50,000 and you signed off to pay the difference, you know, you might be surprised that you have some liability there. So those are all really difficult situations. And for the most part, most consumers aren't, you know, prepared to deal with the nitty gritty. They need some help. They need some assistance through the process. They need reliable experts that they can talk to get some help to understand the rules and make sure they're getting what they're supposed to be getting. And that's all part of the process, I think, that we're trying to, you know, advocate for is thinking about how do we help people at the front end of the process? What tools and services are available to make sure people get the services they need and that they're paid for as much as possible?
Yeah. Bobby Peterson with us, attorney, head of the Wisconsin nonprofit ABC for Health. He's fielding your healthcare coverage questions. Do you have unpaid medical debt? How are you managing and keeping up with payments? Did insurance help out? Did you recently lose your health plan? What questions do you have about getting a new one? Join in 800-642-1234. Conversation right here. We'll pick this up ahead with Bobby Peterson. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. The economic downturn caused by the pandemic has turned our attention on how to pay for and keep our health. Over the past decade, the Affordable Care Act sought to address gaps in our healthcare system. Open enrollment in the marketplace is underway for coverage to begin in January. What is the status of your health coverage? Are you paying hospital bills for COVID treatment? Tell us your situation. What questions are popping up about medical bills? 800-642-1234. We have attorney Bobby Peterson, head of Wisconsin's ABC for Health. He's our guide to healthcare. Bobby, what are you hearing out there as people are treated in hospitals for COVID-19? How much will patients be paying for this treatment?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, there are resources available to pay for some of the specific COVID treatments. There's federal CARES Act money that's available. Of course, your insurance or Medicaid, Medicare will pay for certain treatments as well. People that fall through the cracks, though, have some opportunities, and it's important that, you know, the care providers and that consumers know that there are some options to get some coverage. Right now, for people that don't have coverage, as you mentioned in your intro, though, it's open enrollment. So it's a good opportunity to secure coverage looking forward. Take a look at your current health coverage. Determine if it's appropriate if you have it through the marketplace. But if you need some help, you can speak to experts at 877-947-2211. The website is wiscovered.com. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to look for resources and to get coverage and just to do a checkup on your current coverage.
Yeah, what I noticed about WISCovered is that it's really clear, straightforward information. And, you know, healthcare is so complicated, and I certainly don't need to tell that to an attorney, but, which individuals and families qualify for ACA subsidies?
Yeah, it's folks that are below 400% of the federal poverty limit. And so it's, most of the people that sign up for the marketplace are, I think it's over, well over 80% that are getting some type of subsidy through the marketplace, or tax credits. So it can be a very important opportunity for people to get reduced cost health insurance that's affordable. You'll also be assessed. You might be eligible for Badger Care Plus, and that can be helpful for some folks that have lost their jobs, don't have much income at all right now. So you'll be evaluated for Badger Care Plus for yourself, for your children. You may also be struggling with health issues. Maybe you have some post-COVID issues that don't allow you to work. There may be evaluations for disability programs that will help you slowly ease your way back into work. There's a great program called the Medical Assistance Purchase Plan that allows people to work a bit, but still let them get some Medicaid coverage for themselves. But you know, Kate, you're right. It's very, very complicated. It's highly granular. You know, we have a process that we use called precision patient advocacy because it is, it's so detailed. It's very, very detailed.
Well, you know, the Families First Act and the CARES Act, they were critical first steps to addressing the costs associated with the COVID testing and the COVID diagnosis. But there are big gaps from there with, you know, medical bills, out-of-pocket expenses. And I'm just wondering, what will be some bottom line dollar amounts as people stay in ICUs? Is there any light you can shed on that?
Yeah, I really couldn't tell you what the bottom line costs are going to be for that. I think that there are great opportunities to get those bills paid for, either through your own insurance, through Medicaid, Medicare, or CARES Act funding. And hopefully that's going to be renewed going into 2021. And I think there'll be some assistance there as well. But I feel that the main thing is just, you know, getting the help you need to sort it out. Because if you're dealing with an illness or you're helping a family member, trying to, you know, your focus is on the care and getting well. You know, the bills, of course, weigh on you and they're in the back of your mind. But what we see sometimes from the families that approach us is that some of these things have just lingered a little too long, that it's, you know, put away in a shoebox or put away on a shelf, and it's ignored for too long. And then it becomes very difficult to deal with. It's hard to unwind some of these things after, you know, things that get over a year old become very difficult and challenging.
Bobby Peterson, head of the Wisconsin nonprofit ABC for Health. Have you hired a medical bill advocate who worked with your healthcare providers and insurance companies to resolve your medical bills? How did it work out? Was it worth the cost? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up. News update is next on the Ideas Network. Employer premiums and deductibles have risen much faster than wages over the past decade. And according to new data from the Kaiser Family Foundation, annual premiums for employer-sponsored family health coverage topped $21,000 this year. Workers on average paid about $5,600 toward the cost of their coverage. Is your premium and deductibles going up? What costs have you incurred for a recent procedure or COVID treatment for that matter? Join in 800-642-1234. Bobby Peterson is executive director of ABC for Health. He's our guide to health care and coverage. Stays with us. Let's take a call now. Kurt is joining us from Walworth County. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I used to sell health insurance to small businesses. And what I saw happening was, and now realize, we all know that these small businesses, I'm talking about 10 or less employees, family owned, been there 40 years, struggling to keep things moving. And these guys are working hard, but when they go to get insurance, see if I'll give you an example. If you're a teacher, we X your insurance company, and they take care of all your stuff and all your health needs get, when it comes time to pay it, get muddled in with everybody else's. Well, when you're standing there as a small business, let's say you're a carpenter. Well, you can't get into a carpenter pool, so this one company can reduce their health care costs because there's no one else to help take up the overload and the slack like it happens in other places.
Like spreading it around, so if you will.
Yeah, because the small companies then, I mean, I would see they always came in with a good price for these folks on the first year. The second year, they'd probably take the one I can remember. They took up 11% in the second year, and then in the third year, they brought it up another 23%.
Wow!
And as you can see, I mean, that's their strategy. They're pulling money from somewhere. It's these people that are struggling and trying to make it happen. I mean, it seems to me, if our government loves us and cares for us so much, why can't there be some kind of federal mandates where these folks that are out there on these little islands all by themselves, having to take all of their family, you know, all their family's needs and put every asset they have on the line? Why do they keep getting penalized for trying to make this country better. They're the middle class.
Kurt, I want to pause there and let Bobby join in here on what that experience is like to be able to get health coverage for your employees who are in a very small business operation, or maybe, like, you know, Kurt said, a carpenter who's on their own.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, healthcare, you know, in one of the areas that really bigger is better, larger pools, spreading the risk, is one of the issues that was at least partially addressed by the ACA, although it's not perfect yet, and it certainly needs improvement. But when you have individuals that are, you know, kind of on their own, it just becomes much more challenging. I mean, the Affordable Care Act and a marketplace helped that whole idea and concept of pooling and getting people into larger groups. But it is a challenge. And I think that, you know, if we look at large scale pooling and spreading of risk, we look at a program like Medicare that really does have a lot of large scale pooling and spreading the risk, because, you know, you're eligible for it once you turn 65. Everybody's becomes part of that pool. So I agree.
That is a very large pool. Yeah.
That is a very large pool. And, you know, we talk about, you know, puddles versus pools. And we think that, you know, part of healthcare, ongoing healthcare reform, has to be making sure that we have large risk pools to spread the risk. You know, in the old days, we had something called the health insurance risk sharing plan, where people that were sick and had pre-existing conditions had to go into a separate pool. To me, that was a form of healthcare segregation, where we segregated people that were sick. They had to pay higher premiums, higher deductibles. I don't think that's the way to go. I think we as a society need to just come to grips with the fact that we get in a large enough pool and we spread the risk. Yeah, there's some people that are going to be very sick, but some people very healthy. But that's the idea of us coming together as a society and helping each other out. You know, we're in this together, and I think we need to think in those sorts of terms.
Where do you see profit margins here when it comes to this whole economy of healthcare and how our American system is set up? I mean, you know, Kurt described as you know, increases of 11% and then an increase of 23%. I mean, something's got to give.
Yeah, and part of it is just, you know, making sure that we're, you know, we you know, introduced the show talking about $1.3 billion in Wisconsin in uncompensated care and bad debt. You know, if we had a payment source for those folks instead of running up bad debt, that helps, because those costs get shifted into cost increases. I mean, that's part of one of the reasons for the increasing cost of healthcare. We also know that there's redundancies in the system, and you know, we want to think about providing care effectively and making sure everyone's getting the care that they need and deserve. But, you know, we have to think about it in terms of how much money do we have to invest in the healthcare resources so that we're not, you know, duplicating services and duplicating a lot of efforts across the state.
Bobby Peterson with us, Executive Director of ABC for Health. You can join in on insurance questions you have about coverage. What kinds of conversations have you been having with your insurance in the event you do need treatment for COVID? Do you trust you'll be covered? Join in 800-642-1234. Bobby, how often are people summoned to court because of unpaid medical bills?
Well, I think, you know, any time is too often, but, you know, we've been doing some review of court records it's available through CCAP, and it's astonishing the number of people that are being sued for medical debt. It's slowed down now during COVID, but, you know, we expect it to pick up. But it's, you know, it's a situation where it's highly stressful, and it's not just getting called into court to pay your medical bills, but it's your credit score. You think about your credit score as something that, you know, helps you, you know, get a loan, get a car, get an apartment, sometimes get a job. And when that credit score gets compromised with, you know, bad debt listed on it, it makes it very challenging. You know, we call the credit score sort of like an electronic debtor's prison. And it's really traumatic and troublesome for a lot of low-income disparity populations and other folks as well, because it's really a ball and chain that you have to drag around until you can finally figure out a way to pay it off. And some people never do. So it's a situation. I think, you know, part of our premise is that we can avoid some of that, not all of it, but there are things, steps that we can take to help people avoid that medical debt, prevent some of the debt by good proactive front end assistance through websites like WISCover, open enrollment in the marketplace, identifying people eligible for BadgerCare Plus, making sure that they go through the transitions of life. You know, when they turn 65, when they turn 26, when they turn 18, those are all big dates sometimes that means your health insurance should be evaluated and you're switching to different types of coverage. But there are opportunities to help people out there.
If I disagree with my health insurance, or if something comes up with a bill and I have a complaint, who should I contact about health insurance complaints? What is the process that I should go through?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a confusing one because of the way health insurance is regulated. You know, the insurance commissioner in Wisconsin, we live in Wisconsin, we elect a governor who appoints an insurance commissioner. You'd think that they would take care of most of the insurance issues for our state, but they don't, because they do not regulate ERISA self-funded plans. Those are regulated by the Department of Labor. So you have to learn what type of plan you have. Is it an ERISA self-funded plan? Is it governed by the Department of Labor, which has a much weaker review and complaint process than the insurance commissioner? So it's challenging. Are you in Medicaid? Can you go through issues related to, you know, BadgerCare Plus? There are different complaint procedures for BadgerCare Plus if you're in a Medicaid managed care HMO. This is where it's really important to get some help. And I think, you know, going through the WISCovered website is going to at least give you some opportunity to help sort it out and to talk to someone to learn what some of your options might be.
Let's bring in Pat now in Wauwatosa. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. My comment is that before COVID, the cost of healthcare in this country was about 20% of GDP. And extrapolating from that, that means that one in five people have to be ill in order to sustain the economics of healthcare. What really has to happen is a significant readjustment in the cost of healthcare across the board so that people can afford it. And if we look at nature, any kind of nature, if one in five living entities were ill, that would be unsustainable. So if we have a pricing system that says, you know, we're unsustainable, it really needs to change.
So, Pat, just laying it out there with GDP and a fundamental shift, Pat says, of our pricing system of healthcare. Bobby?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it is an enormous part of our GDP, and I think we need to think about, you know, all the incentives that we have in healthcare. I think we need to think about, you know, the promotion of wellness even more than we do. It's a major issue that, you know, we've been wrestling with for decades. I think that's right, that we have to think about some structural changes in how healthcare is funded and financed and delivery systems, because it's just not really a sustainable path that we're on.
We have to leave you here, but I want to ask you if there's one thing we can do today to make sure that we are covered and that we're going to be perhaps in a better shape if something bad happens. What would you suggest?
Well, we've been recommending that people just do what we call a health benefits checkup. Take a look at your coverage. Take a look at, you know, the people that are coverage, ages. Are people going to be leaving coverage, going on to Medicare, other insurance, going off to school? But that health benefits checkup review and evaluation is really important to take stock of where you are and what's going to be happening coming into this next year. I think it's a really good strategy to use to help you avoid gaps in coverage that can result in medical bills and medical debt.
Bobby, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Bobby Peterson, Executive Director of ABC for Health, a nonprofit law firm in Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.